This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Wing and Tail Outdoors Podcast, your Northeast destination for hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation. I'm Chris, your host, and on this show, we break down the science, strategy, and real-world experience behind life in the woods and on the water. The goal is simple: to educate and empower the outdoor community to make informed, responsible decisions in the field. So grab your gear, tune in, and let's get after it. And always remember, success is just a commitment away. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Wing and Tail Outdoors Podcast. We are joined today by Jeremy Martin and George Huang of Fire Knock. Jeremy Martin is of X-Ring Custom Arrows. And we are here to discuss a very special topic known as the Arrow Concept 1.0. Jeremy, before we get into today's episode, why don't you go ahead and give the listeners a little rundown of who you are and what X-Ring Customs is?
All right, no problem. My name is Jeremy Martin. I'm the owner of X-Ring Custom Arrows. I've been in business for roughly 9 years. We build high-end custom arrows from just about on any platform that's out there. Do some custom bow tuning, strings, cables, things of that nature.
Fantastic, man. Yeah. And actually, I don't know if you remember me or not, but I actually heard a podcast, I don't know, 3 years ago now that Dorge did with Cameron Durr. And they were talking about, you were on there talking about, you know, these arrows. And at the time, Exodus was in business. They were making the MMTs at the time, I think. And I heard about the arrows and I said, shit, I need to get myself these. And I called you right away. And that was my first introduction to Fire Knock arrows and the Fire Knock arrow builds. Since then, I've been absolutely hooked. I have never shot an arrow that behaves anywhere near the way these arrows do. And furthermore, I've never shot a more durable shaft than the arrow weave, which is fantastic. Up until this point, my listeners know this, we've been discussing all the different components of arrows, not specifically just for Fire Knock, but just the pros and the cons of, for example, different arrow diameters, different shafts, different brands, the manufacturing process, you know, the whole gamut, basically. What I would like to do today is I would really like to break down in as simple a way as we can what Arrow Concept is, why it's so beneficial, and what it does for an arrow when you, regardless of the shaft or the brand, what it does for the arrow when you build in Arrow Concept 1.0. So to get started, Jeremy, can you explain to the listeners what Arrow Concept is in its most basic form?
And that's the way that I typically explain it. Is it's going to strengthen the front 6 inches of the arrow. It's going to help you retain energy for your downrange target, and it balances the arrow out a little better. You don't get the super high FOC. I'm not a big FOC guy. I'd much rather shoot a balanced arrow. And it reduces the oscillation time, so your arrow gets into better flight faster, which in turn retains that energy for downrange.
Okay. George, you have anything to add there?
Not much. I mean, actually, that was the original concept of the whole, when I first come up with the Arrow Concept. I'll give you a little bit of history. The Arrow Concept was actually, I did not know it's going to have that much benefit. The recent Arrow Concept, I'll give the initial history of Arrow Concept. It was when I first met the gentleman called Jim Kempf. He owns Scorpion Crossbow. He shoot the first RDT 165, which is 165 limb reverse draw crossbow. And the only arrow in the market that's available is the cross, is a gold tip laser 2 crossbow arrows. If anybody know what a laser 2 is, it is a 300 spine gold tip 22 at 22 inch with a different label on it. That means you're shooting an 165 pound limb on a gold tip 22 with a 300 spine arrow. As a matter of fact, that pretty much is the only arrow available. So the arrow is very unpredictable because you can imagine the arrow is way under spine.
Yeah, so I was just about to say 300 sounds a little underspined for a crossbow.
But that moment, that's the only arrow available. The other is the Eastern crossbow arrow.
And when are we talking here? What year, roughly?
That will be, on the crossbow, we're talking 2006.
Okay, so not all that long ago.
No, not that. Because the crossbow back then... Crossbow back then supposed to be 330 feet per second, and Jim Kemp come with a 420 feet per second bow.
Okay.
So that moment, Gold Tip Laser 3 was not even out. But because the Gold Tip arrow was so weak, at that moment, the first, besides, remember, Scorpion is not a mainstream crossbow. The true mainstream crossbow at that moment is the Desert Striker, the 400 feet per second Bowtech. And Bowtech saying that... 300 spine is not good enough. They go back to Gold Tip and say, can you wrap another round on the fiber? And the Gold Tip Laser 3 comes out. This Gold Tip Laser 3 is a 250 spine arrow, but that is up to 2008. The 2007, '06, when I got introduced to the RDT 165 and trying to play with the Gold Tip Laser 2, the arrow just behaved horribly. I mean, you can find wonderful arrow once in a blue moon on a 300 spine. All the arrows way under spine. And you try your best to shoot that thing with a something with a 65 grain point with an aluminum insert, that kind of deal.
Right.
And I say, why not just beef it up? At that moment, I remember I talked to, I think it's Tim Gillingham and Marvin together. And I say, and then, of course, I put a different arrow inside the GoTo 22. And at that moment, all 22-inch arrow have a 10.5-inch insert in it.
10.5-inch insert or 10.5-inch inner tube?
10.5-inch inner tube.
Okay.
So technically, you got just about 45% of the arrow shaft. Remember, you also have the insert of the aluminum in the front. But the insert is flush. Effectively, you have just under 50% of the arrow shaft in the front.
Okay.
As an arrow as an inner tube. And then we went through every single problem. The arrow... that we put inside the arrow shaft of the gold tip. If you shoot often, the arrow between the insert and the arrow tube, the arrow cracked. Then we find out the arrow is good for about maybe 40 shots, and then the arrow become unpredictable because the outside shaft and the inside shaft carbon start leaving from each other. So after a while, and the grill was so far from each other, it's no longer reliable. And then at that moment, somebody suggested that we have the arrow make a two-step mandrel so that the inner and outer tube is the same thing. So we got a section, like a 16 section in the arrow pre-built.
Pre-built. So it'd be the from the manufacturer.
Build this 6-inch and then put it on a mandrel with this thing in it and roll the rest of the arrow on it. So they will not have an adhesive issue. The first layer and second layer is the same.
I got you.
Well, it was the most horrible arrow you can buy because the arrow will crack and where the end of the arrow tube is. And not to mention that that arrow actually do not behave like an arrow concept arrow. And throughout all the experiment, I actually, at that moment, I remember Rod White, the Olympic gold medalist, taught me into getting a high-speed camera. He did a lot of testing. He was doing shows and showing cameras on different arrows. And then on the side, he was showing the arrow that with arrow concept, what it does. So I'm not sure how much of those videos are still available from him, but that's all his customer. He actually took the video onto sports shows, showing people's shot in the first wave of the arrow.
Okay. Now, since you brought it up, what I've been seeing a lot on Instagram and what I think I want to actually start doing is doing a little like some overlays and showing this on these different videos that I find. But what I've been seeing a lot is people are posting a lot of kill shots or a lot of, you know, shots on deer in slow motion. And if you watch these shots closely, every single arrow on impact starts to bounce from one side of the hole to the other. Some of the arrows penetrate all the way through. Some of them, you know, a piece is sticking out one side, a piece is sticking out the other. And some of them don't really penetrate much at all. Mm-hmm. So, Jeremy, on this topic, on impact, right? What is arrow concept doing for an arrow shaft or for an arrow build that improves its performance on impact?
The way that I typically explain it in person is if you take your, we'll just use a 246 shaft because that's, you know, the standard. Your insert in a standard 246 shaft is 3/4 of an inch long. So you got to think right behind that 3/4 of an inch, the arrow is flexing. With the arrow concept, you're going back 6 3/4. So now your point of impact isn't as close to your first bend or where your arrow is going to likely start to bend. So it stiffens up that front six and a half, 6 3/4 inches. And that's going to give you a little better driving force. You're not going to lose as much. So you won't see that kick left, kick right, or kick up, kick down. I'm going to assume most of it is probably kick left, right.
Yeah, for the most part.
For the most part, left, right.
Yeah. Now, I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it because if I were listening to this for the first time, it's a question I would have. When you put, and I actually, for those of you who are watching on YouTube, I actually have a fire knock shaft and a inner tube that I actually need to build these tonight. But literally, it goes right into the arrow and it gets glued in. I don't want to push it all the way in because I want to be able to get it out, but it gets glued in and it basically reaches, like Jeremy is saying, about 6 3/4 of an inch back. So my question for you, Jeremy, is when you install this 6-inch tube into this arrow shaft, is it going to stop it from flexing completely or is it going to reduce the amount of flex?
It'll reduce the flex and George can step in. The carbon on the inner tube is layered differently than your carbon in your shaft. So it cancels resonance, not so much going to make it so stiff that it won't bend.
Yeah.
It will still bend.
Okay. Yeah. The way George and I have kind of talked about this in the past is that the carbon that's used to make the shaft is one modulus or one quality, and the inner tube shaft is a different modulus. So they flex at a different rate and cancel each other out.
Correct.
Yes and no. The most important part is that for every single arrow made for the outside, the most important for the arrow is called the loop strength. In other words, just like fishing rods, preventing from when you bend it, explode. That's what the outer arrow does, like most people's common arrow. They have a very, very, I mean, if you do not have that, you end up with old beamants. And we all know what happened to those.
Yeah.
The inner tubing, because it is have the outer side of the entire arrow. So that means we can now try a whole different approach. It is actually called the longitudinal extruded. In other words, the carbon fiber are about as linear as it gets. The reason for that is that now you can absolutely have the ability to give you the best bridge strength. In other words, when you suspended 2 points on the longest distance and put weight, that's called the bridge strength. That actually gives you the maximum. And the other thing about it is we need the inner and outer arrow to flex at a different rate.
Right. Okay. And then when it flexes at a different rate, getting a little mathematical here, when two things are one inside the other and they flex at a different rate, it kind of messes up that flex. So to simplify it, the way I think about it is if you dip your finger into some water, you're going to see those ripples, you know, expand out. But if you put something in its way or start another ripple and they come into each other, they're going to cancel each other out, and the water is going to calm down faster where those ripples met than in the other places where those ripples are expanding outward. Does that sound about right?
In a linear form, in a single plane form, yes. Okay. In the three-dimensional form, not exactly, but yeah, close. The whole
it's close enough.
The frequency will try their best to cancel each other. And if one is one and the other is half, the answer is going to be less than half. That is where the benefit is.
Great. Now, Jeremy, earlier when you were giving your definition or explanation of what arrow concept is, one of the things you had mentioned was it reduces the oscillation or the amount of, I forget the wording you used, but you said something along the lines of it reduces the oscillation of the arrow, which allows it to recover faster. Can you speak on that a little bit, simplify that just a little bit for the listeners, you know, to help them understand exactly what that means?
So, and I've said this a few different times, and some people grasp it, some people don't. So like the initial launch cycle of your bow, it's like a top fuel dragster taking off. It's violent,
highly violent,
especially with these new bows, 90% let off. That's like craziness. Whenever you touch the release off or, you know, activate the release in whichever fashion you do, it's crazy if you were to see it like ultra slow motion. I know there's videos out there, you can watch it, how much these arrows flex. So the faster that you can get that arrow calmed down and flying flatter with a tighter oscillation pattern, because your arrow never stops flexing. It's flexing all the way through flight. You just want to try to minimize it as fast as possible to retain as much energy as possible. So that's kind of how I explain that. Yeah, and I break it down to like even into let-offs, you know, and we were talking before the podcast, you said you got your new bow. It's a 75% let-off bow. I know that's a huge thing when it comes to that violent takeoff.
Yeah. You know,
it kind of calms it down a little bit. The lower the let-off, the less crazy it is, the less violent it is, the higher the let-off, the worse it gets.
Right. Now,
so
real quick, when you say oscillation, what action of the arrow are you referring to?
The flex, it flexing out of the bow, up, down, left, right, the whole gamut in a 360 degree circle.
Now, here's the big question. Does an arrow flex from 12 to 6 o'clock?
Does an arrow flex from 12 to 6 o'clock?
Yeah. Does it flex? I'm being silly. An arrow, we all, the three of us, at least here on this podcast, we know that an arrow does not flex perfectly up and down, up, down, up, down. Yes. You know, it might go from 12 to 4 to 7 to 1, you know, so that's really important, because a lot of archers have this concept that an arrow flexes in the same direction, back and forth, and it doesn't. And not only is it flexing between three different points at a time, it's also rotating. So what was 12 o'clock, when it gets back to that same position, it might not be at 12 o'clock anymore. It might be more like 6 o'clock or 11 o'clock or whatever the case may be. Now, the way I've always explained to people that I talk to or people that I know or people that call about these arrows about that let off is I always compare it to a traditional bow. The way a traditional bow works is the farther back you pull that bow, the more stored energy or the higher the poundage becomes, because, you know, you're getting more and more flex in those limbs. And when you release that arrow, your bow is going from 100% power in a linear fashion down to 0% power. It's going from max to minimum linear. So the arrow or the bow is technically slowing down as that arrow is going from full draw down to rest and launching that arrow down range. But when you have a bow with a super high let off, you feel it first off in what we know as the valley or the dump in the back. When you go to pull that bow back and it settles, that weight drops down, and you're only holding a percentage of that, you know, that total weight or that total draw weight. We'll use your 90%, because 90 is a nice, you know, that 90% is a really easy number to work with. So let's say we're talking at a 70 pound bow. You pull that bow back, 90% let off. Now the bow is only, you're holding 7 pounds. When you release that string, the bow is going from 7 pounds of energy up to 70 pounds of energy, staying at 70 pounds for however many inches of that draw, and then dropping off a cliff back down to zero. So the arrow is moving a little bit, then a lot, then a little bit. So it's creating multiple different amounts of bend in that arrow within one cycle of a release. Now, I don't know if that sounds a little too advanced or a little too crazy, but that's essentially the way I always explain it.
Yeah.
And then
Explained it that way, but that's a good way to put it. If the folks understand draw cycle and draw force curve and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the worst part is that this is part that I think that the architecture and the behavior of the arrow had to come in, because Chris very kindly and precisely described how the arrow going to blend and flex. But the fact is that with the new modern day arrows, especially the arrow, we're not talking the old Beeman or the aluminiums. We're talking the new carbon arrows. Mm-hmm. The biggest issue is that most people only see the first flex, which they talk about the oscillation process. But now with a high let-off bow, the secondary process is the killer. It's the torsion of the shaft. That means when you imagine this, you are compressing the shaft. Usually on a 350 fine shaft, if you compress it at 30-inch draw, 70 pound on a 350 spine, on a normal, say, a gold tip pro hunter, the tip of the arrow can turn up to 45 degrees within their first cycle while it was flexing.
And then the back of the arrow can turn 45 degrees in the opposite direction.
No,
right?
It do not. Okay. That's where the thing is. It does not, because it was on the knack. So actually only turn about 22 and a half to about 20 to 30. It can be as much as 60 degrees based on build.
Okay.
So right on the get-go, because you can't turn the back, it's on the knack. So the whole front of the arrow actually do about close to a 45 degree all the way up to as much as 60 degrees. That depends on how the construction of the shaft.
Right. And this is without arrow concept installed.
Correct. But remember, arrow concept will prevent not just the linear oscillation process. It also prevents that section of the arrow having torsion.
So it stops the front 6 inches, 6¾ inches of that shaft
from
twisting. So when we refer to torsion, the most basic word I can use to explain what that means is twisting. So
the shaft twists on the shaft.
Right. So picture you're holding the front of the shaft and the back of the shaft, and it's like you're wringing out a towel. That's what your arrow is doing back and forth in flight.
Correct. And actually, for the guy who are really into drag racing and so on, imagine it's going from your really cheap hollowed steel shaft to a carbon shaft. That shaft don't twist.
Right. Now I'm gonna sprinkle in a little bit of a problem that FOC creates, specifically referring to the behavior of the arrow on release. And then, Jeremy, I'm going to come back to you and we'll talk about how Aero Concept can kind of help fix this, if possible, if it even can. So we all know one of Newton's laws, you know, objects in motion stay in motion. Heavier objects take more energy to move, right? We all know that. That's inertia. So when you have a heavier front of your arrow, when your FOC is super high, but the back of the arrow is super light, when that arrow releases, and as aggressive as a compound bow release is, the back of the arrow actually begins to move before the front of the arrow moves, which now exacerbates all of these motions that we're talking about. It's going to cause the front of the arrow to twist more. It's going to cause the arrow to flex more in the middle before that front even gets going. And what it creates in the most basic form that I can think to explain is almost like an accordion action on that arrow as it's leaving the bow. So not only is it flexing up, down, left, right, and not only is the front and the back of the arrow twisting in opposite directions, now you have this arrow also doing this accordion thing from front to back. So my question to you, Jeremy, is if someone is dead set on shooting heavy FOC, because let's face it, George and I have talked about this before, the higher FOC is going to cause issues in the behavior of the arrow, but it's also going to be very, very forgiving. It's, you know, to wind, to bad form, to bad release. So if there's someone who is dead set on shooting FOC, like high FOC, does Aero Concept offer a benefit or fix any of those issues that I had just mentioned in the flight of the arrow?
I don't think it doesn't fix much. The one thing that the Aero Concept does do by adding it, like the null point of your arrow. Mm-hmm. If you've ever had a finished arrow built, you grab it by the nock, you go to the corner of your coffee table or kitchen table or workbench, and you start bouncing it at the tip. Just bounce the arrow off the corner of the table, and you just slowly work your way down the shaft. You will find a point on that shaft that when it hits the table, it doesn't bounce. It comes into a dead spot, and it just sticks there. Without the optimally, that is where you want your rest to set.
Okay.
With the conventional insert, that spot is very finite, like very small.
So basically it's one specific location on that shaft, and that's that.
One specific location. It's not like a broader span. Now with the Aero Concept, you do get that built into a little bit of, instead of it being a finite point, you can have an inch. So you have a little bit of room to play with. I think that would have some effect on doing that super heavy FOC in your arrow, like you said, having that accordion effect, back arrow move in front of arrow still sitting idle.
Okay.
It so may have some effect on that. I try not to dive too deep into justifying a heavy FOC. I try to talk on the point of a balanced shaft.
Yes.
You know, and there's some belief out there, plan B arrows. Well,
yes.
I'd much rather have an arrow that is pinpoint accurate, that I know I can hit a quarter at 40 yards rather than just in case I'm going to throw a 250 grain broadhead on the front of it.
Right. So let me ask you this. And George, I'm going to let you chime in on the aero concept and FOC thing in a second. Jeremy, what do you think is more important? I'm going to ask a little sidebar question here. Okay. What kind of aero do you think is going to penetrate better, or do you think they'll penetrate equally as well? A super high FOC aero, say 20% FOC, or okay, an aero that weighs the same. So let's say 450 grains. Both arrows weigh 450 grains. One is 20% FOC. The other one is super balanced at, let's say, 7%. Do you think one of those arrows will perform better on impact than the other?
Never tested it, never tried it. So I would have to sit down and think about that one a little bit. But by my first initial like knee jerk reaction would be, if I'm shooting a 450 grain arrow with super heavy FOC, it's going to be, you're not going to get the penetration.
Okay, I got you.
I'm trying to think through it, and I really don't know how I want to word it.
A lot easier through pure physics. You have exactly 450 grain arrow. You have a 20% FOC. Mm-hmm. That means the rest of the arrow is a lot weaker on a super heavy FOC arrow.
Yes.
That means the moment, just like action and reaction, and then the arrow is flying. The moment you have super heavy FOC, the front of the arrow hit, the rest of the arrow will collapse because it's not as strong or balanced. In other words, it is going to fly more like a... That means the front of the arrow is going to flex while the front penetrates.
Okay.
Now, if you got a balanced arrow, I mean, not saying as low as 7%. I don't really recommend it. I recommend about 9 to 12 is what I think most people do. And 7% is really used more like a target, because the penetration, although in 7% on perfect balance, perfect form, is great. But in hunting situation, perfect balance, perfect form don't usually happen. Now, the easiest way to imagine this is that, imagine your arrow is a train. When you have an arrow that's well-balanced and the front hits, the arrow don't flex so much. The rest of the arrow have weight, will push that front forward. So it's a linear motion.
Mm-hmm.
If you have super heavy FOC, the front hit, majority mass is already, and the arrow usually flex under that condition. Now the rest of the arrow will move off the same track. It's like, imagine you got a train that hit something hard while it was turning a curve. The rest of the air train would fall off the track, and there's not much impact in the front. While if you have the arrow well-balanced, imagine it's a linear track. After the train hits, the rest of the cart will keep on pushing forward. And that's the best way to describe it.
Now, does aero concept assist, like fix that a little bit at all? Like if somebody says, you know,
the aero concept, actually, just in case, imagine this. The easiest, I will go back to the train. Imagine the train that's five carts, and the front two carts is longer than the rest of the three carts. Or you got a train with all five carts the same. Now, as the curve increase and you have the accident, the front two cart will not be off the track so much because the cart is longer. While in the heavy FOC, every single, the front cart is actually shorter. So all the rest will fall off the track faster.
Right. Now, the way I like to explain it, kind of similar to your spear okay, analogy, I always say, picture you have a pool noodle, brand new pool noodle, stands perfectly straight. You tie a rock to the front of it and you throw it down your driveway. Two things are going to happen. One, obviously the rock is going to lead, but as that pool noodle is flying through the air, you're going to see the back waving behind it because the wind is affecting it. Number two, on impact, that rock is going to hit, and that noodle is going to swing left, right, up, or down and collapse on itself and bend forward to the front. I know that's a really extreme example. Obviously, the rock, proportionally speaking, the rock is way heavier than the noodle compared to a broadhead to a shaft.
Well, actually, what's his name? The gentleman who used to be a pro staff of mine and a dealer out in Virginia, he actually described the best, and that's the reason I'm always using this. Have you ever drive a pole into the ground?
Yeah.
Imagine you got a soft PVC pole and you try to use a hammer and hammer it to the ground. Every time you hammer it, the pole will just flex.
Yes. Yep.
Until you get a pole driver, which is a tube that tube the pole and you push it down and hit it.
Right.
The aero concept is like the pole driver. It is exactly like a pole driver.
That makes sense.
Actually, it was the best explanation I've ever heard. That's the reason I have to use it again.
Now, we could talk about the benefits of this afterwards, but Jeremy, to give you a little idea as to why I asked the question is because I'm doing a little in-field testing this year. Mm-hmm. I have a Aero Concept 2.0 that I built. It is when I had a 75 grain head on the front, I was at 6% FOC. I've gone up to 85%. I've gone up to an 85 grain head instead of 75 and switched to AeroVane 3 instead of 2. So I took a little bit of weight off the back and a little bit of weight to the front. I'm going to assume that they're more closer to 7.5 now. I'll make a measurement and actually, like, you know, do the calculations at some point. But they are the best flying arrows I have ever shot. And they're the first ever 2.0 that I've ever shot. So I'm really, really excited to see how they behave in a hunting scenario, because this arrow's 450. My last arrows were 412. And those were, I think, like 12% FOC. Those were actually the MMTs from Exodus. So I love them. I love tinkering. I love trying new things out. And we could talk about, if we have some time at the end of this, we could talk about the benefits of going from Aero Concept 1.0 to 2.0. But that we'll touch on that if we have time. So moving on, I was actually talking with my dad this weekend, and George knows my dad pretty well. They've had some conversations before. My dad's a big crossbow hunter. And my dad says, when your bolt is that short, they shoot 16 or 16 and a half inch bolts. He said, what benefit am I really going to see shooting Aero Concept 1.0 if the bolt's already so short and I can hit just fine at 50 yards? So I'm going to open the floor to you guys. If my dad were to come into your shop and say, I want custom arrows, but I don't know that I want the Aero Concept, what benefit is that going to give me out of a crossbow?
When you have a crossbow that's so short, I will guarantee you one thing. Your arrow-to-arrow consistency is so out of whack, it's not even funny. That's what happens with short arrows. Each individual arrow has its behavior, exactly the behavior, no doubt. But your group of arrows is going to be very difficult to control, especially without Aero Concept, because whatever behavior the arrow, we will be exposed to the extreme. So it's really, I mean, you literally had to find 2,000 arrows, shoot all of them, and group them based on their behavior, even up to your spine.
Wow, I didn't even realize that. But I guess it makes sense, because the shorter the arrow, the higher percentage each inch is. So if there's an inconsistency
in the behavior of the arrow shaft, is exaggerated. Then, quite a few customers bought the 17-inch arrow bolt 3 from me. And they tell me that put the whole 16-inch in it. They told me the arrows are much more consistent from shaft to shaft to shaft. The Aero Concept tame the individual behavior of the shaft and make it behave more like a group. But then, is the Aero Concept more accurate than, quote-unquote, without Aero Concept? Answer is no. It's just simply the behavior of each arrow is now a little bit more radical because nothing to group that.
Now, is that only because of the inner tube, or is that also because we're building the... But...
Clarify. Some arrow shaft, especially crossbow arrows, like the original gold tip Ford used to be called the gold tip laser 3. When they are that short, arrow-to-arrow-to-arrow behavior is significantly different. The Black Eagle Executioner is not that much. The Black Eagle Zombie Slayer, after you shot it, then for a while, then the behavior becomes different.
Okay. So, but now my question is, when you use Aero Concept and they fly more consistent from arrow to arrow, is that
correct,
simply...
Correct, because we tame the arrow, we get them to behave differently. Just like, I think the best way to do it, imagine you got yourself a super high-performance sports car and you build 6 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have nothing, you have no suspension, no nothing, and you drive them on the same course. Each of the car will slightly behave differently. But the moment you put suspension on it, they will drive all about the same.
Okay. No, but I guess what I was getting at was when we build Aero Concept, we are also using the scientific method of the scientific building method. So we're finding not the spine, we're finding the first dynamic bend of the arrow. So my question to you is, what if somebody were to build a crossbow bolt using the scientific building process without Aero Concept 1.0?
That's what I mean. You use the whole scientific process and then using scientific methods, the whole thing and so on. Each arrow's behavior is going to be much more widely different than without the Aero Concept.
Okay, I got you. Jeremy, from your shop or from your company, do you get a lot of crossbow guys coming to you? And if so, what are you hearing from them before, or I guess at the time that they're looking to purchase them? And then also, what are you hearing from them after they've shot them for a while?
I have, I'm probably probably crossbow builds a year, not very much. And I attribute that to, you know, I don't shoot a crossbow very often. My son has one. My stepson has one. I do not shoot one. So when I speak vertical bow language a lot. But when I do have my occasional, I have some guys out in Eastern PA out in Doylestown. He is a super loyal customer to me. I build his vertical bow stuff. I build his crossbow stuff. I think I've built 3 Ravens for him so far. So when I do build a custom set of bolts, I've had one, and it's not really a complaint. It's he wants more accuracy. He wants to build as much accuracy into the arrow as possible. That's the only negative that I've come away with. The guys on the plus side are saying the arrows are more consistent. Like they can take a dozen, and I'm not picking on any arrow manufacturer whatsoever. I'm just going to, because there's not many of them out there for crossbows. So we're going to pull out the Executioner. He can go down to the local bow shop and grab a 6-pack of Executioners. Now I think they even come with the tips, the inserts glued in them already. So he loads them up in his bow. They start launching them. And then he gets a custom set of bolts from me, whether it be an Executioner, the Firenock shaft, whatever the case may be. And he instantly notices the groups are tighter. The flight is more consistent. Don't get as many flyers. That's a big one. Yes. Like, you know, when I say flyer, I'm like, these guys are shooting crossbows at freaking 100 yards, and they'll have one that'll go high left or low right or whatnot, you know, wherever that one flyer is, but they always have that one flyer. Sure. I've reduced that dramatically is pretty much what I get from the guys.
I'm going to take a quick 30 seconds to recognize the partners and sponsors of this podcast, and then we are going to get into this week's show. We have the Nested Tree Stand System, Tooth of the Arrow Broadheads. For both companies, you can use code WT10 at checkout to save yourself some money and to also support the show. We have the Vitalized Seed Company, Integrated Habitat Solutions, Truth Sticks Custom Arrows, Firenock, 3A Archery Custom Strings, Rack Getter Scents, Hunt Arsenal, Silver Birch Archery Shop in Milford, PA, and the Hunter's Gallery in Hamlin, PA.
And I've went as far as with that same customer, I've sent him different configurations of bolts and vertical bow arrows. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, I'm going to build a dozen arrows, and I'm going to put them in blocks of 3. And they're all built different. I'm not going to tell you what I did to them. I'm just going to send them to you. You shoot them, and then you take a picture, and you send it back to me, and that's the dozen I'll build for you, because I know what I built. And every time, it has come back with, and I'm not propping up Firenock, you know, none of that. It's because I've used boning vanes, tack vanes, you know, AAE vanes. I've used them all. Yeah, I've used them all, and I sent them all to him, and every single time I've come back with an arrow vane too, and not always the same shaft, but
okay,
it's always been the arrow concept arrow has flown more consistently, and he's even went down the path of setting up his Garmin and getting consistent speeds from the bow with the arrow concept builds. It just builds. If you take your time and you do it right, you build consistency into that shaft. That's, in my opinion, undeniable. There's always going to be the naysayers out there that are part of the mainstream flow of things. And they're just super reluctant to accept anything other than what's been out there.
Well, yeah, because, you know, George and I have talked about this before. It's what people have been using for decades. Right. But what everyone doesn't realize is when bows reached a certain speed or a certain ability or performance, that it outgrew the capabilities of what people have been using for so long. Now, right. what I tell people very often is it's not like we have a magic bullet, right? It's not like we're giving them this arrow and we say all of your problems will be taken care of. You know, it's not what we're doing here. But what it does do, first off, arrow concept 100% makes the arrow behave better in flight, right? But if all of your arrows aren't indexed the same way, or if they're not all built with the same process from arrow to arrow, just because they behave the same way doesn't mean they're going to behave in the same direction. if that makes any sense. So what I explain to my customers is that not only are we giving you an aero that behaves better, we're actually taking a majority of the field tuning out of your process. By indexing our aeros, which most people would call spine aligning, but you know what we do is just slightly different. By indexing every aero, it's basically the same thing as knock tuning, except you don't have to go out and shoot your aero 100 times and turn it a millimeter each time until you get that perfect flight. We're doing that for you. You know, we're making sure that every aero is going to flex in the same direction. We're making sure that every aero is going to flex the least amount. Every aero is going to recover at the same rate. So every aero, you could close your eyes, blindfold yourself, pull an arrow out of a quiver and shoot it, and you'll never be able to tell the difference from one arrow to the other because they will all behave the same. And that's what I try to tell my customers.
And well, actually,
I kind of use the same analogy. I'm like, you can stand in front of a piece of paper at, you know, what is it, 9 feet, whatever, you know, that's a varying different opinion by a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. You can stand in front of a piece of paper and try to shoot bullet holes and turn knocks. That could take an hour. It could take 3 hours.
Take 3 days.
And I can, it could take 3 days, depending on how, persistent you are. Or I can take, I'll go 98% of that out in a matter of minutes, saving you time, saving, you know, so you could put more time on target rather than standing in front of a blank bell and a piece of paper. I can put you out in the yard or out down on the range practicing for longer. Those 3 hours that you spent, you gain, 2 hours and 55 minutes of that back. And that's not to say that, you know, the process is 100% perfect all the time, because I've come across an arrow or two that are like, you got to take all your senses out, close your eyes, you know, and really feel for it. That's not to say that I nail it 100% of the time, all the time. I am human. I do make errors.
Sure.
But I can take the vast majority of that out of the equation for you. I can't fix form. I can't fix initial bow setup, but I can fix the arrow. And everybody wants, that's one thing I have noticed. Everybody wants to blame the arrow. Everybody.
Or the bow, or the release, or the ground, or the weather, or the humidity.
See, I don't get that much. It's always the arrow. And then I start asking questions. I'm like, all right, sir, well, let's sit down and talk about it. And that's a problem that I have. I'll be on the phone for 3 hours with a customer. And I'm like, okay, let's run through your bow. I'm like, I need some, this is going to sound weird, but I need some specifics. How tall are you? I'm 5'6". How many pounds you shoot? E4. What's your draw length? 29.5. I was like, unless your knuckles are dragging the ground, you're not a 29.5-inch draw. So you're probably overdrawing your bow by a bunch. Yeah. You're shooting, you know, darn near behind your ear.
Yes.
Well, this is the way I've always shot. And that's not to say, you know, you could look at Rio Wild. He leans way back in his shot. There's some other pros out there who do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Repetitive is the key. But you're not Rio Wild. You're not Levi Morgan. You're not Jesse Broadwater. Right. You are a hunter. Let's just face the facts, right? And a lot of guys don't like hearing, you know, and I'm an honest person. I'll tell you like it is. You got to look at yourself first. You know, if your form's not spot on and you want to shoot some big fixed blade broadhead, if your form is not perfect every single time, including when there's a 200-inch whitetail or a 360-inch bull standing in front of you, if you can get it right, then okay, go for it. But I tell you what, I missed probably a 320-inch bull last year at 61 yards because silly me misset a slider for 71 yards and got a little trigger happy. It happens to everybody. I mean, it happens to the Levi's. It happens to everybody. So why would you want to chance that, you know?
Right.
So that I try to, not that I'm a coach, because I'm not a coach. I just try to bring a lot of common sense to the conversation. And 90% of the time, you know, we work through it. And at the end of the day, the customer's happy. If the customer's not happy, then I make it right with them. So
then we make them happy.
You know, yeah. That's why we're here. That's what we do. I love what I do. And I'm sure you do the same. I mean, George is retired and he's still working. So
he doesn't work a day. He likes what he does. He doesn't work a day in his life.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but the cool thing too is, you know, and George and I have talked about this before, you know, a decade and a half ago, Porch said, I'm not buying it if it's not the most expensive thing. And if it's the most expensive thing, that's what I want because you get what you pay for, right? And right. Then he realized throughout the years that that's not always true. The really great thing is our arrows, when we build these arrows, now I don't know what you charge for yours. And, you know, I don't know if we charge the same thing, but whatever we charge, I guarantee you that other, I'm not even going to mention other brands. There are other brands out there whose bare shafts, nothing built for you, nothing installed for you, bare shafts, carbon to carbon, cost more than our arrows built out the door. Right. So in our case, you don't get what you pay for. You actually get great stuff at a discounted rate, you know? Right. So I only share that because we're not here to, you know, we're not here to sell you snake oil, but, and we're not here to break the bank. We're here to give you the best functioning product that we believe for a price that's not going to break the bank while also saving you time tuning and on the range. So that way, right. The little bit of time you do have is always geared towards getting ready for the season or getting ready for the tournament or getting ready for whatever it is that you're practicing for, rather than saying, okay, I need 2 days to tune my arrows, then I need to go and tune my bow. And before you know it, you've lost 3 days of practice.
Right.
You know, so for less headache, less expense, less cost, you could get more out of your stuff. So basically, you could get more for your dollar.
So here's another thing that I talk about. Like we go into these bow shops that are dwindling by, you know, way too fast and way too many.
Which is really, really unfortunate because some of my best memories from being younger was going with my dad to the bow shop and bullshitting with all like the old timers that were there and hearing the stories, you know, so it's unfortunate.
My dad, unfortunately, was not a bow hunter, so a neighbor took me under his wing, and I remember calling my parents at, you know, 11 o'clock at night on a school night, hey, we're still here, we're shooting, you know, so I get it. And those numbers are dwindling. Like, the closest shot to me is about an hour and 10 minutes.
Wow.
But in these bow shops, they are so big, you know. They carry three bow brands, carry, you know, Sitka camo or, you know, all these high-end things. And then they carry one arrow brand, whether it be Easton, whether it be Gold Tip, Black Eagle, you know, the list goes on and on. They usually carry one, maybe two brands. And what I do and the way that I try to help folks with not breaking the bank is I can build off of any platform that you want. If you want an Outlaw, you know, they're I don't have no skin in the game with Jason and Randy down at Black Eagle. I like their products, I use it. Victory, I like their products, I use it. And I've built enough arrows in my past that I can say, okay, you kind of want a budget build. I understand that. That's cool. Here's an arrow that is going to do everything in the world you want it to do. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a third of the price than an Easton Pro Tour, you know.
Right.
Or, you know, or a set of X Impacts or, you know, the new HLR Elites that are 220 some bucks for just a shaft. I think they might be a little more than that.
There's a couple brands out there that I think the price is getting a little outrageous.
They do get outrageous. And one of the other things is, you know, and I know we're kind of like rabbit hole, but the marketing.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people have lost sight of this is a business. Archery is a business. And believe it or not, it's a big business when it comes to select people. If select person, not taking anything away from any single person, but said person is shooting X bow, B arrows, you know, C camo, mm-hmm. and, you know, B boots, yep. I've got to have all of that. Because that's the best, because that's what he's shooting.
It's all about what sells rather than what works.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they think it's the best because these guys are shooting them, wearing them, you know, whatnot, when they don't know that they're getting paid to rep their product.
Exactly.
It's all about getting a payday, right?
Which is great. Those Let everybody make their money. That's fun.
Yeah. Those guys have to make a living, and kudos to them. I wish and I prayed to the dear Lord above that I could have done that, but I've been held a completely different hand. So kudos to those guys. I love them all. You know, they're all great guys. Everyone that I've talked to in the outdoor industry, the vast majority of them are great guys and down to earth. So it's I'm not throwing punches at anybody by no stretch of the imagination. But people do have to understand that, you know, just because someone's shooting it doesn't mean it's the best product. It's the best product for him. That doesn't mean it's going to be the best product for you or me. So
right.
I try to, you know, steer them away from like, I forget what they call that, like in marketing, but like you see the, you open up Bowhunter magazine, the center photo in the entire thing is usually a Hoyt, a Matthews, you know, PSC Elite. It's going to be a bow and it's going to be their branding flagship stuff. Bow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, just because it's there doesn't mean that that's the best one.
So let me ask you this, Jeremy, because this is something that I've kind of toyed with, and I think I'm going to stand firm on this. Will you build a customer an arrow? Let's say you talk to a customer, they say, I want this arrow by this brand. And I'm not even going to mention a brand because there's no point. Right. But let's say they want this arrow by this brand. And you talk to them and you say, you know, I could tell you want a budget. You know, I recommend this shaft instead. It's going to behave better. It's the better shaft. No. I want this shaft. If in your heart of hearts, you know that that is not a well-built shaft, it is not a shaft that is going to perform well, will you still build that for the customer because that's what they want? Or are you going to say, I'm sorry, buddy, but if that's what you want, I can't do it for you because I can't put my name on that.
There are a few shafts out there that I refuse to build on. I won't say those companies' names, but, and I have my reasons, and George and I have talked about this in extensive conversations at ATA shows and other shows that we attend, you know, over dinner. But there are some manufacturers that I just will not deal with. And it's not because, you know, they treated me wrong or, you know, anything like that. It's just the product quality is not there. It's for me, the product quality is not there. And I'm at the end of the day, my name is on that arrow shaft, whether it's printed on there on a label, whether, you know, the hard card that I sent them on their build sheet. You know, my name is on that arrow shaft.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to put garbage out there.
Right.
I just can't
like,
do it.
And it's not like if an arrow breaks, let's say the worst case scenario, an arrow blows up. They're not going to say, what arrow shaft is that? They're going to say, who built that arrow?
Exactly. Who built it?
Exactly.
And you're not going to pick them up at Lancaster. You're not going to pick them up at your bow shop. You're not going to pick them up, you know, at Dick's. Well, I don't even know if Dick sells archery Dick stuff anymore.
Sell anything outdoor related anymore.
Or Cabela's, you know, Bass Pro. You're not going to pick them up in any of those shops. You're going to have to search for them to find them.
Right. And I'll go for it.
Nope.
I'll go one step farther. And after discussing with George the shortcomings of micro and small diameter shafts, the issues with 204s, 166s, 124s, I will not build a 204 or a 166 unless it has one of George's. I personally don't even like half outs. I refuse to build an arrow with a half out in it simply because of the weak point it creates in an arrow. The only way I'm building it is with your Titan 204 insert. Literally, that's the only way I'll build a 204. And if someone really, really wants a 166, the only way I'm building it is with George's, you know, outsert system simply because it turns the weak point into a strong point. And that's not because I don't believe in 166 arrows. If somebody wants a 166 arrow, that's fine. That's their choice. And you know, but if I'm going to put my name on it, I don't want somebody to call me in 2 weeks and say, you know, I've been shooting these for 2 weeks and out of the dozen, four arrows broke at the insert.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this because not by you and not by George, but I had a set of 204s built for me. And out of two different batches of the 204s, I had six different arrows break where the half out met the arrow shaft.
Right.
And I don't know if that was an issue with the build. I don't know if it's because it was a weak point. I don't know if the insert wasn't glued properly. I don't know. So I'm not going to speculate. All I know is where the weak point is where my arrow failed. And it's not something that I want to deal with.
So when you talk about that, you know, the 204, 166, 204 has been my bread and butter for a long time. I love building the 204 shaft. I think that is probably, for hunting purposes, that's the best shaft out there because you get a mixture of both 246, you know, you get some diameter, get the 166, you get, You know, you get a little bit of both. I really love that shaft. But when I'm talking to these customers, you know, okay, what are your intentions with this shaft? Do you want to, and I don't know if I could say this, but I'm going to.
Say whatever you want, you got me.
Do you want to run it through an animal? And then when you run it through that animal and it's that animal's laying on the ground and, you know, you're thanking God that you got it. What are you going to do with that arrow? Are you going to wash it off in a creek, stick it back in your quiver, and you're going to blast another one? If that's what you're going to do, the 204 in its conventional form is probably not the shaft for you. You're going to want a 246, something that's, you know, you don't have to worry about half out or a whole, an entire outsert. You know, you got a full insert, you know, and they can take a beating. Mm-hmm. So those are conversations that I have with my customers. If you're the kind of guy like I am, I know they're $20 to $25 arrows. When I run it through an animal and I get done, you know, thanking God or, you know, whatever the case may be, that arrow gets retired. It did its job. Well worth the $25. I hang it on the wall. It usually goes on the rack with the animal, or it gets set in a corner. That arrow done its job.
Okay.
And you spoke on the system that I kind of came up with the Titan system.
Yep.
That's a pretty cool system. It's a couple years in the making. I've ran some Frankenstein stuff when I was trying to do some testing. I really like it. It's pretty slick. I was downstairs building a dozen right before this call. So I'm getting ready to go on vacation tomorrow. So I've got to get them out the door. So I got to get them going. That Titan, if you ever want to talk about that, I definitely want to talk about it
because see, I talked to a lot of customers and I told them if they want Aero Concept, they're not good at really, really trying their concept, their ability to build. The Titan would be the easiest to build Aero Concept with what most people want. As a matter of fact, before Exodus closed the shop, I had talked to Chad and I talked to Cameron both. I said, you guys need to talk to Jeremy. Because I manufactured those for Jeremy. They are so fundamentally signed for, I mean, are they better than anything and everything else? I would say that's about there because I can't think of anything better. That was a tough call. I have not seen anything better.
So can we give real quick before we go any further? I don't care, Jeremy, if you want to answer, George, if you want to answer, can we explain what the difference is between the Titan insert and a regular half out?
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Gary. I go too technical on it.
So your typical 204 half out is you have insert inside the shaft. Then you have your half out, and that's typically where your problem starts right there is at that half out because you have so much outside of the shaft of the arrow.
Mm-hmm.
With the Titan system, everything is inside of the shaft. So I don't know if I can say, Dord, shake your head yes or no, if I can say what it's kind of like about or who mm-hmm. it kind of came from. Okay, so the patent has expired on the hit insert. So. Okay. Once the patent expired, I had this idea in mind for a really long time because obviously have customers come back and say, you know, I'm bending half outserts or I'm breaking half outserts. I was like, well, we can fix that. So I came up with the idea of building an insert that can accept inner carbon on the back that can be fully inserted, which is the hit insert. Mm-hmm. So I built it like a typical, like you would build the hit. And there's other companies out there that do too. And then I put a collar over the, so you're protecting the end of the carbon. So you're not having the normal hit problems with, you know, over time you start, you know, you're wearing that carbon down and then all of a sudden your broadhead, your field point's not tight anymore up to the carbon. So I got rid of that with the collar and then you're reinforcing layers upon layers. It's not just like hit and that's it. You mm-hmm. got your hit, your inner carbon, then you have your collar and they all overlap each other. To where it's reinforcement the whole way back.
Okay.
And I tested it for a couple years, just playing around with my own stuff. I didn't even bring it to George's attention. And, you know, I just played with it and built it. And I hunted with it 1 year, flawless, shot him into brick walls.
Mm-hmm.
I did the torture test and it came out really nice. I'm very happy with the way it turned out. I really like building them. Okay. I think it solved not necessarily a problem, but it helped with the guys who want to shoot the 204, but don't want to deal with the bent half out certs. Yeah. If the guy still wants the half outs, I still build them. Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason to say, you know, I don't try to discount one to sell another. It's just like, what's the purpose and what are your needs and wants?
Right. Well, since we talk about component for all these years, I would just do a summary on it. Half out require a lot more skill because the 204 is such a wide range of diameters. Right. If the 204 is simply a 204, no big deal. But the 204 is a 2015 to 207. So when you try to put a half out on it, it's always have very difficulty for me to be concentrated. Mm-hmm. Then the HIT, as I first discussed with everybody, when Eason have that, he said, the biggest problem in HIT is the frontal impact of the carbon shaft. Your archery product solve it with the broader adapters. Broader adapter is nothing more than a super short collar. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. But they didn't, I mean, for people who understand it, that's the reason, because when it first come out, everybody who actually shoot the HIT have one major issues. Because back then, the first set of, the axis, the carbons are very, very crunchy. So after every time you shoot it, a few molecules of carbon behind a broadhead will crumble. And of course, if they're no longer there, the broadhead is loose. Right. And then when the broadhead is loose, well, guess what you got next? You got non-concentric broadhead because the grinds are flopping inside the shaft.
Right.
Now, with Jerry's approach, actually, is a triple history coming back. You got HIT insert. So the visibility or the non-inconsistency of the shaft being concentric is pretty low because it's an aero concept HIT system. So in other words, your shaft is actually, your inner tubing is close to 7 inch long.
I got
Think you. About it. You have 6 inch tubing, you have the HIT with the entire thing on it, that is actually close to 11 millimeters, and then you have that space, which is the collar, that's 15 millimeters. So now your inner tube is 7 inch into it. When you got a 7 inch tube, I mean, yes, the tube is reasonably strict, but then the insert is also reasonably strict because the inner tube and the shaft difference is now, the angle of that insert inside the shaft is much, much, much lower.
Right.
So the aero shaft is going to be strict. By Jeremy suggesting using the reverse blue dot collar, which we in Fine Art call it the aero bevel system, which is nothing more than a collar to put on the front of the shaft.
Sure.
Well, guess what? The carbon can no longer be crumbled. Can it be crumbled? Answers yes, if you do not glue the insert. But I don't believe Jeremy will ever build the aero without gluing the insert. So it's become a non-issue.
Imagine. Well, you have one too many right before you go to build a dozen arrows.
but then it solves so many problems. See, another problem with the half out is that it's like when the Exodus, the NIS system, they try to do it like the MMT. That's the reason I insist they don't build the 204 to start with, because it becomes more critical. When you have an insert that is sticking out 10 and a half millimeter, how off can you be it for visible? Answer is 0.1 to 0.2 of a degree. You see, it was not straight.
Right. Enough for you to care, basically.
Correct. Because I will tell you how bad it gets. 2019, Holder Archery out of Indiana, they bought about $6,000 worth of 204 AeroWeave. They built it for about like 24 customers. To be frank, you only one do not come back, insist a refund. No, I'm not joking. And then Lauren, at that moment, who owned Brookholder, called me and said, "Dodge, what's wrong with the 204? I built it just like I built with the crossbow. How can they be so bad?"
That's because.
Then I said, "Do you remember when you were taking the class?" He said, "Yes." "Go and test every one of the arrows, and every one of them is wobble like crazy." No, I'm not joking, not degrading him. Is that he trying to use what he learned exclusively in crossbow and apply to 204?
Right.
You cannot do that.
Yeah,
there's because 204 is such more critical shaft than a 300.
Yeah,
and because 300 is a 300 is a 300 is 0.300.
Right,
and a 204 is not 204 period.
Right,
and it's just 202 to 207.
To remind the listeners of what we talked about in the past, the smaller your aero diameter, the larger the percentage the insert takes up. So when you have a smaller diameter or inner diameter, every little bit that's off matters more because it takes up a larger portion of that inside space. Now, we're at an hour and 12 minutes, a little bit longer than I wanted to, but I do have one more thing that I wanted to cover because I think this is really what brings it all together. So I don't think that there's very many people out there that deny the benefit of aero concept once you go beyond, let's say, 60 yards. Dorge, I know you say past 50, but what I hear a lot is, I'm not shooting past 60. What do I need this for? So, Jeremy, I'm gonna ask you this question. What benefit can an archer see? Let's say someone says, I'm not shooting at a deer at 60 yards, man. I'm shooting at 30, maybe 40 max. Why do I need this? When a customer says something like that to you, what's your response to them? What benefits can an archer see in Aero Concept 1.0 sub 60 yards?
The most easy thing that comes top of mind real quick, knee jerk, is penetration. You're still stiffening up the front end of that shaft, aiding in penetration, getting a more true impact. You're not getting necessarily the bending of the shaft right behind the insert. So you've got the extra space to stiffen up that front end of the shaft, and you are retaining energy. I don't know how much. I'm not into that, but you are retaining some sort of energy. I can't give you a percentage or you know, an amount, but you are retaining that and transferring it to the animal or the target.
Okay. Now, what Dorge and I have talked about in the past, and I'll reiterate this also, is let's just give a range from 166 to a 300 spine or a 300 diameter arrow. The typical arrow takes anywhere from 16 to, I think we said, 24 yards to recover, which means the arrow is relatively finished flexing, and it is relatively recovered because, as we said, an arrow never completely stops flexing and it never 100% recovers, right? So a typical arrow, depending on the diameter that you're using, can take anywhere from 16 to 24 yards to recover. But an Aero Concept 1.0 will recover in 8 to 9 feet, not yards, feet. So if the arrow, let's say you shoot two guys shoot at two deer that are standing right next to each other at the exact same yardage, they're the exact same size. Let's just say one guy has Aero Concept 1.0, the other one does not. They're shooting at these deer that are standing at 10 yards. The Aero Concept is going to have better penetration simply because, A, like you said, it retains more energy, but it is also recovered. It's no longer flexing at 10 yards, where a regular built arrow is still bending and trying to stop bending when that arrow impacts. So, Jeremy, you're saying that it'll penetrate more. And I guess I just kind of explained why it would penetrate more.
Yep, that's a part of it as well. Yeah, most certainly.
Okay.
Whenever you can, and I knew this would come up as far as, you know, the different diameters, recovery rates, all that stuff, and how dramatically different it is. And I'm sure you guys talked about why it takes certain arrows longer to recover than others. So yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that statement.
Okay. Dorge, you have anything to add there?
No, actually, but I want to state that when possible, we don't make people confused. I got a retired U.S. Navy SEAL out of Wyoming. He experienced how ridiculous short-range shooting is. She shot an elk at 9 feet with an Aero Concept arrow. It exploded into 4 pieces.
Really?
Yes.
That doesn't sound like a good thing.
No, I just want to make sure everybody knows. It's at the end of the day, it's not 9 feet, it's more like 6 feet. The arrow never recovered. And the front of the arrow hit the animal, the whole arrow just exploded into 4 pieces. Wow. The arrow never recovered. It was too short. But he was in ghillie shoot. I mean, the guy sandproof himself. The deer actually, the elk actually ran in front of me. He pulled out his scalpel, he put a bow and shot it. Yep, the arrow only going about 3 inches. But technically, you remember your arm with the bow. That's 3 feet.
That's fair. Unless you got T-Rex arms like me, then you're only at 2 feet. But, you know, that's besides the point.
Well, but not people just don't understand. You don't shoot something so close. That's the reason a lot of my customer put a frick. They finish hunting, they put the freaking target in the back of the truck. They walk to the back of a tailgate and they shoot the target. I say, one of these days, is going to really regret this.
Yeah, it's going to go really bad. That's going to end very badly. So I got one more question, and we could keep this as simple as possible. Jeremy, when you build Aero Concept 2.0, if I'm not mistaken, on your website, I think it's something like if you have the exact same Aero, everything's exactly the same, but you compare 1.0 to 2.0, it's something like $50 or $60 more for a 2.0 build versus a 1.0 build. Now, I know why. It takes a lot more focus. It takes a lot more time. You know, a 2.0 build requires the room to be at a certain temperature. There's a lot more that you need to pay attention to build a 2.0 properly. And a reminder, 2.0, concept 2.0 is gluing a tube inside the front and back of the Aero versus only in the front. My question for you is, if someone is going to have to pay $60 more for a 2.0 build versus a 1.0 build, where does the value come from? What does somebody get out of a 2.0 build that they would not get with a 1.0?
So I keep the 2.0 builds reserved for, unique cases. Mm-hmm. I don't typically build a 2.0 for, you know, I don't try to build a 2.0 for everybody because it's not for everybody, I don't think, in my opinion. You know, you may have a different opinion. Dorge may have a different opinion.
No, I absolutely agree. The 2.0 will never give you cost benefit, the effort, and the result. Just like when Chris won a build, you had to talk him out of it. I mean, he's marginal there because it's draw length, but...
Yes. So
he tried to talk me out of it. He didn't talk me out of it, though.
So, you know, I could count with all my fingers and toes how many setups that I've built with a 2.0. Because it's usually I reserve that for a low poundage guy, a short draw length guy. I've actually built some 2.0 stuff for some use, but that's about it. You know, the rate of return, like Dorge was saying, and I don't know that it's $60. I charge a little bit more for a 2.0 build versus a 1.0 build. And that's just strictly because of the time that it takes.
And more and material. It's a whole nother, it's a whole nother batch into tubes.
Yeah. Yeah. You take a whole nother batch of, inner carbons, excuse me. So there's, you know, that cost in and itself, the time that it takes me, and you have to, there's a few other steps involved. It's not as easy as the 1.0s in the front. The 2.0s in the rear are a little bit different. So that's where that cost comes in. And I've only done it, like I said, couple handfuls of times, and that's about it. Okay. And I don't know if Dorge has ever spoke of it, but the gentleman who was out west, 2.0 build, 50 pounds, blew through an elk.
That's awesome.
Actually, it was on a Switchback XT. That guy is 26-inch draw with a maximum 45-pound pull. I built that bow. It's a Switchback. He was ready to buy a Halon. I talked him out of it. Because Halon is too high level. I said, go back to the Switchback XT. You'll thank me for it. Because
he's
the guy only,
extreme.
He was pulling 42 pounds when he was at the ranch. He told me he finally reached 45-pound pull.
Wow.
So, you know, I reserve it for special, I don't want to say special, but unique cases. And so that's you know, it's nothing other than that. You know, I try not to do knee jerk reactions when I'm building. You know, usually I have, you know, between a 20 minute and a 3 hour conversation with a customer. If they want to learn about it, you know, I give them the ins, the outs, the drawbacks, you know, the advantages. You know, it comes down to the end of the day, what does the customer want to do? I can advise, hey, I think this is going to work for you. Right. And I think you're going to really like it. And that particular case that Dorge was talking about, the guy was, you know, enthusiastic about what had happened with that animal. So yeah, there's no science. I don't use no science to it other than, you know, what's between my ears and my knowledge of building arrows and playing with bows for, you know, I don't know, how old am I? 45. So 30 some years I've been playing with bows. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of how I go about the 2.0 builds.
I gotcha. And to be honest with you, the only reason I went 2.0, A, I wanted to try it out. Dorge has said probably 100 times now between my podcast, conversations with you, conversations on the Deer Gear podcast, do not shoot Aero Concept 2.0 until you shoot 1.0, because it's going to fly so much different than the traditional Aero that you're going to think something's wrong. So that's what I did. I got a set of arrows from you, Jeremy. Those arrows, which, by the way, when I got those arrows from you, I put it 4 inches into an oak tree, had to dig it out with a screwdriver, wiggled it, thought I bent it, pulled it out, spun it. It spun perfectly. And I still continued to shoot that arrow. They're absolutely insane. But
go ahead.
The reason I personally chose to shoot 2.0, A, I was curious to see how they behaved, how they functioned. But I sought out this year, or I set out this year, purposely trying to build as balanced of an arrow as I can, because like I said, I want to test it out. And the only way I think you can get below 10, 12% FOC is to have the tube in the front and the back, or to have no tube at all. And that wasn't an option for me. So when you break it down, obviously, an arrow shaft, you know, in its truest form is going to be balanced with nothing in it. When I put the tube in the front and the back, now it's still perfectly balanced. The only off balance I'm going to have is the difference between my broadhead and my nock and my vanes, you know, and with the lighted nock, it's, I think, roughly 24 grains overall with all the things included, the end cap, the battery, the nock, everything. And then the vanes are like, what, 5 point something. So we're looking at 30. Quick math, 29, 30, 31 no, grains on the back. What's that?
The vanes are 15 or 20 or three.
Okay. So let's say 15 grains for the vanes. Grains for the vanes. Poet didn't even know it. So 15 grains for the vanes, 24 for, so let's say 39 grains on the back of the arrow, and then an 85 grain broadhead. So really at the end of the day, I'm only off by 50 grains in the front. Other than that, the rest of the arrow is balanced.
And there is it. I had one customer, and it's a customer from Eastern Pennsylvania. First set of arrows I built him. Very first set I built him. He wanted 2.0s. We talked through it, and I was like, all right, we'll build you a set of 2.0s. And I built them on an arrow weave 246 shaft. Mm-hmm. And I send them to him, and I don't hear nothing for a week or two. And because I always ask for feedback, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, I want the feedback. Mm-hmm. He calls me up. This is Jeremy. He's like, we've got some problems. I was like, oh, here we go. And he's like, I can't get my sight tape small enough. I'm like, what? He's like, I cannot get my sight tape small enough. He's shooting 60. He don't quote me on it, but he was shooting like 64 pounds out of an RX5. And he's like, I called HHA and told him I needed a smaller sight tape. And I shot in, you know, with a piece of tape, 20, 60, took a measurement, sent it into them. They're like, there's no way that's coming out of your bow, because it's calculating to a 400 and like 20 some foot a second bow. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Jeremy, he's like, I can't shoot these arrows. I'm like, okay.
Sounds like a good problem to have.
What are we going to do about this? He's like, well, I guess I'm just going to have to use one pin. I'm like, that's not a bad problem to have. So he shot them for a year, and every set of arrows I've built since have been loose, and he's been thrilled.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because I almost forgot to bring that up. And I think after this, we could wrap it up, because I think we've pretty much touched on everything Arrow Concept has to offer. Two things, really, I guess. Number one, guys, if you choose to shoot Arrow Concept 1.0, especially with Arrow Vane 2, we've touched on this, but I'm going to reiterate. You're going to begin to limit the broadheads that you can use, not because certain broadheads aren't lethal, but certain broadheads are either not aerodynamic enough, or they have too much of a planing effect for the rotation that Arrow Vane creates. When you go to Arrow Vane 3 or Arrow Concept 2 with Arrow Vane 3, that list gets even shorter, again, because of the ridiculous amount of rotation that they get. I'm not going to go into those specifics. You can go back and listen to our episode with the vanes, but just understand that with this higher performance, you are limited to what you can use. It's the same thing with tires on a sports car. The higher the performance of the vehicle, the smaller the list of tires become that you can use on that car and still have it function properly. Okay, that's number one. Number two, with the increased performance and energy retention that these arrows have downrange, you are not, if you're over 280 feet per second, and that's the golden number that we like to use. If your arrows are flying over 280 feet per second and you are using Arrow Concept 1.0 or 2.0, you will not be able to find one sight tape that fits your arrow's behavior. What you're going to have to do is use one sight tape from 0 to 30, another sight tape from 30 to 60, another sight tape from 60 to 90, and then another sight tape for 90 and beyond. Now, I know that sounds like a hassle, but that's because your arrow is flying flatter the longer it travels. So yeah, does it sound like a headache? Sure. Does it sound like a pain in the ass? Percent. I'm not gonna argue that, but it comes because your arrow is performing better. So what would you rather have? A better performing arrow that requires a little bit more setup on your sight, or a worse performing arrow that's going to have you lose an animal simply because it didn't penetrate properly or because it didn't fly the way you wanted it to? Right. Guys, I got nothing else to add to this. I think we've touched on everything. Jeremy, is there anything that you want to add to the conversation before we wrap this up?
I do want to hit on that one last thing with that customer and that arrow build.
Sure, go ahead.
Every single star had aligned perfectly for that to happen. Like, that's not to say every 2.0 build's going to end up that way, because it's not. Like, everything from the null point to his draw cycle to the, you know, the knock travel, everything, his peep height, his D loop length, everything had to line up perfectly for that to happen. 100%. So I don't want people to have expectation of, oh, I'm going to shoot a 2.0 with an arrow vane 2 and I'm going to be one pin to 60 yards. That's not the case.
Yeah.
That is that's not how that works.
Not at all.
You know, that's finding that needle in that haystack. I found it once out of how many thousands of dozens I've built. So, right. You know, I don't want people to have a misconception. And when it doesn't do that, they are underwhelmed and not happy.
Yeah. So, and I'm glad you shared that, because we're not, you know, we want to be as transparent as possible. We've said 100 times already that our arrows aren't for everyone. You might get a customer that calls and says, hey, listen, you know, my kid is just starting to hunt. You know, they're shooting this, that, the third, whatever. And you can say, you know what? It's not worth it for you to spend the money on these arrows right now. Let me build you this, or let me recommend you something that you could use for now. And when they get a little bit bigger, come to us. It's not about selling you what we have to offer. It's not about convincing people to use FireKnock. It's about giving people the education and the information that they need to make an educated decision. My listeners are probably so tired of hearing that, because I've said it so many times, but it's the truth. It's about 100%. Giving you the knowledge, the information, and saying, okay, if you want to use this, this is what's going to happen. If you want to use this, this is what's going to happen. Which one would you prefer? And then you build it. Because at the end of the day, if you give people the information and they make an educated choice based on that, well, then that's their prerogative and they're more than welcome to do that. You know? And then at that point, we have the decision of, are we comfortable building that or not? And if not, no hard feelings. We'll send you somewhere else, you know, but that's what it comes down to.
Okay, Jeremy, I'll wrap this up today. I got some good news to announce. For the last 2 months, actually last 6 weeks, a lot of customer who used to love the Exodus MMT and NIS talked. I mean, I'm the guy who make all this. And after the discussion with the people who used to build it, they're not going to do this anymore. So I'm going to offer those components as all my certified and trained dealers, because they are considered the SportWave version, will be able to offer you guys. You guys were able to build that because I have the shaft, especially the NIS. It will be limited, but because some people really love it, because it's not like my AeroWeave 204, we don't make SportWeave 204. Mm-hmm. So those will be available within 2 weeks.
Okay.
So that means after the July 4th, you should see them. And I would only list them as complete build. Okay. I would think most probably I would get them built for 29 inch from the local guys. And then, of course, the rest of you guys were able to get the same thing. Price just exactly the same as what the NIS and the MMT is.
Okay, so people wouldn't be able to buy just the shafts. They're buying the...
Because it's SportWave. I do not feel comfortable with anybody buying. That means they must buy it through you guys. Or for me, with a 29 inch finished. Sure. That would be it.
So if you guys love the MMT or the NIS arrows from Exodus, and you're really upset that they're not making them anymore, excuse me, we have the ability now to build them for you until whatever inventory has been used up.
Correct. So for the people who do not like the half outs, come up with Jeremy. He have the Titan series for those. I talked to the Exodus voice. NIS with the Titan series will be one of the best shaft out there. Yes, is the NIS as good as the titanium or the stainless steel? If you build, if Jerry building both of them, I think the titanium and stainless has a slight advantage, but very slight, because it will take longer. So it will be even more expensive, because you need to take the time. The NIS, you don't have to. The Titan series, you don't have to.
Okay, great. Thank you for sharing that. That's really exciting news. I'm excited
yes,
for that.
Yes, it is. Now, actually, I just confirmed it, because I was going to be sure because my manufacturer called me, my factory called me and said, hey, Dodge, what are we going to do with all this? We build a lot more. Because originally you told me they're going to get more this season. And I did not know they have that much. So I have to do something. Otherwise, it will sit there forever and do nobody any good.
Okay, no problem. Dorge, everyone knows where to find you at this point. If you guys want to find Dorge, you can find him at fireknock.com. You can send him an email, reach out to him. He's always available. The beautiful thing about Fireknock is when you call, Dorge is one of two employees, and I'm pretty sure the other one is his daughter. So when it comes to Fireknock and you call Fireknock, you send an email, you want to reach out, you are going to get Dorge. He is going to be the one to answer. Now, Jeremy, if people want to reach out to you, whether to either have arrows built or to talk to you or whatever reason, where can people find you?
You can find me. I'm on Instagram, Xtreme Custom Arrows. I am on Facebook, the same. And I also have a website. It is xrcarrows.com. And I've built that site a couple years ago and haven't had done very much updating to it. But I like to have one-on-one personal conversations. I don't like the drag to a bag, click, check out, done. Because we can possibly, you know, get you into something a little better, cheaper, you know, more cost effective for you, or, you know, we can go either way. So I like having conversations. So Facebook, Instagram, you can direct message me, call me. If you're a customer or a potential customer, I automatically give my phone number out. And when you call, you get me. My company is me and me alone. That's how you reach out to me.
Love that. I want to thank you guys for joining us here for this conversation. This was really great. For the listener's sake, I really hope that we did a great job for you to simplify. I don't want to say dumb it down because that's like a terrible phrase, but I hope that we simplified it enough that we took a very complex situation or scenario or build and put it in a way that you guys could understand. For my listeners, you guys know I'm still running the special on the True Six Custom Arrows. If you order arrows right now and you follow me on Instagram, I'm taking $5 off your build. If you follow me on YouTube, taking another $5 off. And if you leave a 5-star written review down below, I'm going to ship the arrows to you for free. So I want to thank you guys again for joining us. I want to thank the listeners for joining us also, spending your morning, afternoon, evening with us. And remember, success is just a commitment away. Until next week, have a good one.